Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. Yesterday when the sun was out and it was nearly 70 degrees, all I wanted to do was get outside and get a little bit of sun on my head. And anytime that happens around this time of year, we begin to think of vacations, those opportunities to get away from our lives and to treat ourselves to that special time. If we think of our vacations, we try to do three things. We try to give ourselves that sense of our humanness in a good way. We eat all the good foods we can, and perhaps maybe we stay in a place that we really can't afford just to feel like a queen or a king for a little bit. And then the most important thing when we vacate is to get away from responsibilities so we can take the easy way out. We don't have to cook. We don't have to worry about anything. And we can say no if we want to. And that's always a time that we look forward to. But now as we begin the Lenten season, we are not focused so much on vacating our life, but we're focused more on our vocation of life. The two words are identical except for one letter. And a vacation is when we go and we treat ourselves to our human needs, and our vocation is when we seek God and discern our call, our mission, to become like Christ for others. And that takes place not somewhere warm in the sun, but it takes place in the desert and not in Vegas either. But the desert represents where we find ourselves away from everything so that we are truly alone with ourselves. So that we can, as Jesus shows us in the desert today, turn ourselves inside out to be transfigured. From the things that hold us to the earth to the things that allow us to truly represent the presence of God within us. When we look at the temptations of Jesus in the desert by Satan today, it's very interesting when you listen to the gospel carefully, because Satan says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. See, Satan doesn't understand what's going on here. If he's asking Jesus if you're the Son of God, he's questioning whether he truly is. So that means Satan is beside himself. That if this man is truly the divine person of God, what's going on here? See, because Satan would never do that. Satan would never, ever step that low. He would never take on human flesh if he was God. Become like a creature. So he's confused. He's confused by what he sees and experiences in Jesus' humanity. So he tempts him into three things that we hold most dear as in our human nature. Our physical health, our financial wealth or status, and the easy way out. So he tempts Jesus' way to see who is this really that has come out here in the desert to seek the mission of the Father in heaven. So when Jesus is tempted by Satan to turn stone into bread, he's tempting him for that desire, that hunger for the things of pleasure in the world. And he refuses. And then he tempts him in that place of status or our financial place in life. And he says to Jesus, look at all these kingdoms. They belong to me. Far more kingdoms here than your Father in heaven has. Just bow down to me and I'll give it all to you. And Jesus refuses. And then he shows Jesus the easy way out. He shows Jesus the easy way out by taking him to the parapet of the temple. And he says, look, if you're the Son of God, jump from here. Because then your Father will send the angels and they will swoop you up. And if anybody would see someone fall from the parapet of the temple, swooped up by angels, they're going to believe in you. Because Satan feared one thing more than he feared of Jesus. And that would be the cross. He feared how Jesus was proposed to die. Because that's not the easy way out. it's the hard way in. So when we look at these temptations, we should look at them as they are for us. How easy it is for us to be in that place of desire to fulfill our needs, even if it's for 7 days on a vacation, or even if it's late night having a snack. But when we're tempted to hold on to the pleasures of our own health and our own satisfaction, then we use the remedy that is given to us, and that is fasting. To fast from those things so that we can see our loosening from that desire. Not to have a stone turned into bread, which Jesus refuses to do, but to get the bread that he turns into himself so that our physical health becomes less important than our spiritual health. And then when we are tempted to, in pride, to find that place of status or even that financial stability, we have the remedy of almsgiving. To give of what we have for the mission of Christ. And that is because when we put aside what we desire to give us stability in this life, we find how vulnerable we really are. Because we know that our wealth and our place will pass away. And in that vulnerability, the gift of alms becomes a sharing in the likeness of our brothers and sisters. Not as the poor who are looking for a handout, but for those who are like us, who need spiritual gifts and financial well-being to be able to continue their mission of Christ as well. And then in this Lenten journey, as he's called us into the desert, to not be tempted always to take the easy way out. And I think that is one of the things that's so common. If I was to ask you to raise your hand if you like to take the easy way out, I'm sorry, I'm busy tonight, I'd be right there with you. But we have the remedy of prayer. Prayer transforms our desire not to participate in the things that are complicated in our lives and helps us to be able to take the hard way in, the hard way into the kingdom of God. And that puts us in this position where when our health fails us, we don't pray to ask God to relieve us in the easy way, but we begin to embrace the cross. When our wealth or our prestige or place of importance fails us, we recognize that he's calling us to the hard way in to see who we really are in our spiritual journey. And so we should pray that way so that when the time comes, for it will for all of us, that we'll be ready to walk with him in the way Satan was afraid of, by offering our lives for the fullness of that life that comes in his kingdom. So what should be our mission this week as we begin this Lenten journey? It certainly is to take serious those three disciplines that become the remedies for the things that hold us to the world, so that we can move in that direction of preparing to receive the cross, which is the greatest gift that Jesus can give us. To always remember, in our fasting, we seek something greater, and that is the grace that comes in the Eucharist, the sacrament of reconciliation, the grace that comes in confirmation in the Holy Spirit. And when we're tempted to take the easy way out, to pray, to pray that we can leave go of those things that we hold fast so that we can follow him. And the remedy to our place of status or even our financial wealth is almsgiving. Almsgiving is, as I said, not a gift of our surplus, but is a sharing in our vulnerability and a desire to grow in the kingdom. And that's why we, as the diocese, always places our diocesan appeal in Lent. The bishop could choose any time of year to ask for help in the mission of the church. But we choose Lent because it's a time for us to say, this gift I give shows that I desire the mission of the church and also support the mission And especially those who are most vulnerable spiritually, that need the aid of our gift, our prayers, and our example. So when you come forward to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, remember when he said no to Satan to turn stone into bread, he chose to turn bread into himself and becomes our lifeline. And when we receive our Lord in the Eucharist, pray that those things for which hold us fast can become the gifts that we give to serve the church, so that when we are tempted to take the easy way out, you'll be ready to take the hard way in, into what we desire more than anything else, and that is the gift of eternal life. I promise I will do the same.